morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. We can see who all the early birds are, if they were able to make it here this morning. There's probably plenty that are still sleeping and gone on too late now. So we welcome the Gideons today. I forgot your first name.
Seb.
Zeppo. Okay, we welcome you today. We look forward to your message. We're going to have one thing I do want to announce, that there is a special plate here for the Gideons. Any donation you'd like to make, so you have the insert today, so you can just put something in there and put it in that plate so that we can keep it separate. Or you can just mail it in. All you have to do is put it in there and put your check in and mail it out. So if you do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. We do have some news. Most of you probably know that Ann Carr suffered a TMI yesterday. So she's in the Charlotte Hungerford Hospital right now. She should be getting out today. It was kind of hard to get her vitals and stuff because she kept talking and moving and talking. And they're like, can you just stop? And she was rattling away and playing with all the knobs and stuff. And so maybe that's why they kept her. You know, but they're doing all kinds of tests on her and stuff, but it was on the right side, not the left side, so that was one good thing. Herb got out of the hospital. I believe with Herb, it's mostly a salt. He eats something that he shouldn't be eating. He gets too much salt, and he has problems with his heart, and then he happened to pass out and fall. So he's going to be going through a bunch of therapy and stuff like that. You're going to have nurses finally now coming every week and doing all kinds of stuff. So keep them in your mind and your prayers and just shoot them off a card or something. He was funny because he was there and he was saying to the nurse, he goes, I love the soup today. I want more soup for dinner. I love the soup. And then the nurse walked in and go, we're sending you home today. And it was like, you know. He was, I said, maybe they'll let you take some soup with you. I don't know. So. We're asking, excuse me, 91, yeah, so send her a card too. I'm sure it'd be a great way to get some cards off to them, it'd be good. We're asking prayers over our whole church. We're asking just keep our church in prayer. We're going to set up a couple of teams and go through the whole church. We're going to pray. So it's a great time of the year to do that, and if you'd like to be part of it, let me know. One night this week, we're going to try to do that and maybe continue to do that. Tom, it's good to see you and your family back. Liz needs a ride Thursday to the doctor's, okay? You may end up getting Chris, too. Because I hear they like to go to lunch or something. So they've got it all worked out, but they do need a ride because Ann was going to give them a ride. So if anybody can help them out with a ride to the doctors, you know, to the hospital.
At what time? I don't know. I won't know until the day of. No.
The day before. Okay.
It could be early, it could be later. I don't know.
Okay. Well, if somebody is able to help, Ann can't. Well, we don't want Ann helping. Ann would probably be dragging her little thing along to try to do that. So, but if let us know if you can help. I do ask if somebody here can contact Ken Semerero. We haven't seen him in a while. Ken Semerero. So if your friends or you're talking or something, just shoot him a line, shoot him something. I haven't heard from him in a while. I just saw his name today, and I said, you know what? I don't want him to get lost. So he's one of the names who I think he feels, maybe he's listening, I don't know, but I think he feels bad that he was connected with the COVID before and he had COVID. So please, if you do friends with him, just shoot him a note or call him up or whatever. Does anyone have Easter flowers? That's the one thing I want to mention. Easter flowers. You're in charge of Easter flowers. It's on the back of the bulletin. Okay. Okay. That'll be great. So, okay. So if you need to technical information that's in the bulletin, but let's get some flowers here for Easter as we rejoice in spring maybe finally getting here. Would be a good thing. Does anyone have anything, please?
Yes. I am very happy to say that the Women's Evening Bible Study is happening, and it's every week at Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. We'll start promptly at 6:45. If you want to chit-chat, come at 6:30. And we are doing a podcast that is Natalie Grant and Christine Gamble, Dare to Be. And we had a meeting this past Tuesday about love, joy, and coping with the pandemic. And they actually have 35 different little podcasts that they developed this podcast during the lockdown. So come and join us.
Lauren? We will be having an annual meeting after we have all our goodies. We just love it when Lori cooks down there. You know you're. Oh, thank you. Does anyone else have anything they would like to share this morning? Please, Mary.
Winterfest.
Big group.
So if you would just cover us in your prayers. I'm driving the van.
Ooh! Yeah, Mary! Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I have
it
in your prayers.
Okay. Well, we'll try to get it started this week, so it'll be easier to start up for you. Please remember that we are still doing the Lenten service on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. This week it will be over at the Congregational Church, and then it'll be back here. We're going to be doing a Monday-Thursday service, and we will be having a Good Friday service. It's going to be at 6 o'clock for the Good Friday. We'd like to get a bunch of people here for that, and then we will go over, if you want to, you can go over to Congregational Church. They'll be showing the Passion. They have the rights to that, so we're going to try to get that. So if you can, Martha?
Just real quick, I'm glad that the Women's Book Club, it says it's going to be, we changed the date right, the 31st to the 3rd. We didn't want to put it in.
Oh, okay.
So
great.
We're not doing it on Wednesday.
Well, you can have it on Thursday, just bring them, or Wednesday, and bring them all to. That would be great. Anything else anyone would like to share this morning? Well, then let us please now stand for our introit. Call to worship.
All heaven and earth proclaim the majesty of God's creative power.
Praise God for the amazing and awesome beauty.
God has given to us codes by which to live together in harmony and peace.
In these commandments, God has summed up the ways we must respect one another.
Rejoice in the goodness of God.
Praise God for his complete and steadfast love for us. Amen.
Father God, we praise and thank you that we are able to meet here today. Father God, we thank you for the snow, but we'd like it to go away. We're tired of winter, Lord. We pray for the springtime to come. It's the joy of Easter, the joy that you bring this time of year, every year, Father, that just brings an excitement. The crocuses start to come back and the sunshine comes and it warms up, Father. We just look so forward to that. Easter is such a great time. Lent is such a great time. And we thank and praise you for that, Father. We pray that you fill us. Your Spirit fills us, Lord, that we can take advantage of this great time before us. Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives, for all that you're doing in our church, for your guidance that you give us, the protection. We thank you for all that we take for granted, Father. We pray that you fill our sanctuary with your Spirit, Lord. That it all just fills us. Fill this whole church, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill us, each and every one of us, Father. Our souls sing for you how great you are. We praise you and thank you today. And we rejoice together in your goodness as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts
as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 9 through 11, found on page 58 in your pew Bible. Six days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall do not any work. Your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and consecrated it. Our next reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Found on page 957 in your pew Bibles. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses. Erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, he set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, found on page 837 in your pew Bibles. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' He got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy it?' After looking around at all of them, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Uh-huh. to be here. I was talking to Pastor. It was 3 years ago that I was here last. And a lot of things have gone by in that time period. What if hell is a real place? A 16-year-old Joplin was leaving school one day, and Gideon handed him a small New Testament. He had no intention of reading it, but he did put it in his pocket. At that time, he was deeply addicted to drugs and alcohol, but he did manage to graduate high school. He kept on getting into trouble, and when he was 20 years old, he decided to somehow he's got to end something. He even started thinking about suicide. Then the thought occurred to him, what if hell is a real place? And what about heaven? Remembered that small testament that he received. He started reading it, and he came to Matthew 7:7, and a word struck him. Ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. Everyone who asks receives, and him who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. He discovered that the everyone the scripture was talking about was himself. So he made a 30-day deal with God that he would follow the scriptures, then God would become real to him. For the first time ever, he attended church. His disheveled appearance caused some people in the local church to ignore him. So he went out of town, went to a small church where an older member said, come on back next week. The next week he heard a life-changing sermon. Gave his life to Christ, was healed of all his addictions, and today he's a pastor of a church. How God's seed is sown, and the harvest is gathered. Since 1899, the Gideons have been and continue to be an association of born-again Christian business and professional men, and together with our wives, we stand on the Bible's authority for every aspect of life. We are comprised of more than 250,000 members in some 200 countries, territories, and possessions around the world, and where we strive with the church for integrity, influence, and impact. The Gideons International does not send out missionaries, but equip local Christian business and professional men and their wives to engage in the Great Commission in their own communities. We place Bibles in the designated traffic lanes of life, places like hotels, motels, and convalescent homes. We distribute New Testaments to students in schools and colleges, to prisoners, to police, medical personnel, as well as our armed forces. As members of local churches, Gideons visit congregations like yours to let you know how God is using the seeds that we are sowing. God bless you. We are an extension of the church and work in partnership with believers like you around the world. By God's grace, last year we distributed over 92 million scriptures, COVID or not. And since 1908, we've placed over 2 billion scriptures around the world. The promise of Isaiah 55:11 is fulfilled. As God's word does not return void, as men and women, boys and girls, come to Christ through reading a Gideon Place Testament. Mike Davis grew up in a broken home. He was forced to live with relatives, forced to attend church, became a rebel, became addicted to drugs and alcohol, but he did manage to get out of school and managed to get married, although at 17 years of age. They had children later, but after 20 years of marriage, it was falling apart all around him. Alcoholism increased to a point where the marriage failed. He landed in a motel completely alone, with no family, no job, very depressed, with no hope. He did find the Gideon Place Bible in his room. He started to read. After 6 days on and off reading, he finally confessed his sins, found Christ, accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and was healed of his addictions. Today he's back with his family. They all attend church together, and his children have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. The power of God's word by itself can work miracles, let alone where it's instructive, true. Ask yourself, how can I help? What can I do to put God's word into the hands of millions of people around the world? Your daily prayers for our ministry is really vital to our ability to keep going and to put the word of God into the hands of a lost and dying world. Donate Bibles by sending a Gideon card. I believe there's a rack here somewhere for these cards. If not, let me know. We'll bring one. Or you go on Gideon's website and order cards. And what they are recognition, thinking of you, all kinds of different cards. Where you can buy a Bible to honor somebody. One Bible, five Bibles or more, and they'll know that these are going to be called motels, convalescent homes, to honor. They'll have the opportunity to write scriptures put around the world by making a check payable to the Gideons. Pastor went over that this morning. Every dollar in this ministry that you give for Bibles goes to Bibles. The overhead is paid by the Gideons themselves. So 100% of what you give goes to scriptures, buy the scriptures, print the scriptures, and send the scriptures and distribute them. There's a opportunity also to become friends with the Gideons. Purchase Bibles, they will not have the Gideon logo, but you can purchase Bibles that we give out. And if anybody wants to consider membership, see me after the service. And I thank you for the opportunity, Pastor, to come up and you and everybody listening. And I thank you. God bless you. And praise the Lord. Okay, one little thing. The power of God to heal. In November, I had pneumonia. And 3 weeks ago, I had my gallbladder removed. And a couple other things. So trying to I had two procedures 2 days apart. One was to unplug and the other one was to take that thing out. But God is healing. I'm getting stronger. So praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll invite you back again next year.
I did mention to Brenda that I was going to mention this right here, that please fill this up for them, help them out as they start putting kids towards going to camp. Sorry, Brenda, you got to follow the Gideon, so now you just... This morning, we're going to wrap up our Luke question series. This can get a little technical because Jesus is starting to get technical. He's starting to try to pound it home with the Pharisees. He's trying to teach them, and they're almost an immovable object. But he keeps trying. Every week we have found that the Pharisees are in opposition to Jesus, and it is growing. Luke describes that they are now watching him. They are following him. They are looking for him to do something that they can pounce on. You want to know what they kind of look like? Look at the front of our bulletin. That's who they are. That's what they're doing. And we thank you, Lori, for printing our bulletin. that we can get color bulletins, and it costs us nothing. So thank you. Well, the Pharisees are starting to ask the questions. Who is this? What is he doing? Why is he so concerned with the heart? Why doesn't he associate with us instead of the tax gatherers and the prostitutes? Why does he eat with sinners? Jesus is baffling to them. They can't grasp him because he's not like them. The Pharisees are shocked that he isn't following their etiquette. He's not following their religious traditions. They're shocked over that whole incident with Matthew that we discussed last week, the riffraff in Matthew's house. At this point, Jesus is starting to gather more and more crowds, people from all over Judea and Jerusalem, as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They're coming to see Jesus. They're coming to hear Jesus. They're coming healed from diseases and troubled with evil spirits. N.T. Wright wrote about a relative of his who likes to tell of an occasion where he flew with some of his business friends to Ireland to watch a rugby match. And when they got off the plane, there were no custom officers waiting for them. So a few of his friends, probably having a few Guinnesses by then, decided that they would go in the official's booth. They put on the caps that they found there, and they inspected everyone's passports and luggage as they came off. The people just fell in and were accepting of who they were. These men had no authority, but it seemed to work. And N.T. Wright says he wondered, having heard the story, he wonders what happened when the real officers arrived, and did they arrive? And he did not know the end of the story. But Wright suggests that this is how Jesus appeared to many of the onlookers. He held no public office. He was not ordained to be a priest. He wasn't part of the well-known pressure group of the Pharisees. He had no formal training as a teacher. Yet there he was, unofficially telling people what to do and giving them permission to do things that they have been told their whole life was wrong. Today we learn of yet another incident with the Pharisees where they criticized Jesus. Why don't you observe the Sabbath? They ask, and in response to their criticism, we learn of his understanding of his true identity. Who did he think he was? That is, in fact, the main question Luke wants to ask. Luke's not interested in asking, do we or do we not keep the Sabbath, but rather, who did Jesus think he was? In today's lesson, we learn that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The analysis of Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath, we learned in Luke 1 through 5. It shows us Jesus is describing his understanding of his own identity. There's two schools of thought that we've been dealing with here that Christ is using as a way of comparing the old and the new. Remember our lessons that we've been going through in Luke 5, the old versus the new, the law versus grace, works versus faith, tradition versus trust, and religion versus relationship. Let's begin by looking at Luke chapter 6, verse 1, and we'll call it the setting. Luke tells us that on a Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. As we read this account, we might be thinking the disciples doing something that they should not have been doing. They're taking something that doesn't belong to them. However, the disciples were doing what was perfectly legal back then in their day. It was, in fact, how God had provided, that whoever had a field of grain, they would leave some on the vine for anyone walking by to grab something, whether it would be grapes or wheat, so that you could feed those who did not have anything. If you're in Deuteronomy 23, 25, if you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels in your hands, but you must not sickle the standing grain. You couldn't harvest basically, but you could, you're free to take. In the setting of the account, Jesus and his disciples were walking from one place to another. And while they were going through the grain fields, they helped themselves to some heads of grain. It was perfectly legal. So what's the problem? What is the conflict that the Pharisees are? Suddenly the Pharisees appeared on the scene. So apparently they were in a grain field looking for Jesus. And they asked Jesus the question. Luke chapter 6, verse 2, we'll call the question. Real technical. Luke did not tell us where the Pharisees came from. They just appeared. Well, they show up and they ask the question, why are you doing this? It is not lawful to do that on a Sabbath. The Pharisees believed that they had caught Jesus. They had finally caught him and his disciples breaking the law. Keeping the Sabbath was one of the distinguishing features of the people of God. It was clear mark of distinction for the people of God in contrast to those who did not belong to God. The Pharisees accused Jesus and his disciples of violating the fourth commandment, which states in Exodus 20, 8 through 11, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. The fourth commandment states that in addition to keeping the Sabbath day holy, no work must be done on the Sabbath. Nothing. Remember the Jewish leaders, and we discussed earlier the 39 clarifications of work which they had developed, and then it was each category had like endless subdivisions to them. It went on and on and on. Well, their Mishnah explicitly listed three things of their 39 categories: plucking, reaping, threshing, and winnowing. You couldn't do. Well, Jesus' disciples plucked some of the heads of grain. They threshed and winnowed when they rubbed them in their hands. And then when they ate some, they described that, the Pharisees said, they prepared food on the Sabbath. So they thought they had Jesus on four different violations. So what's the problem? The problem was that this was their law. It was not God's law. The Pharisees had developed such an extensive legal code about, they didn't even know sometimes what the laws were or what was going on. So what they were basically doing was just making so many rules that people were afraid to do anything on a Sabbath. Commenter Phil Graham Ripken says, the Pharisees were always telling people what to do and what not to do, but especially they were telling people what not to do. But they themselves could not always tell the difference between their not-to-do list and God's commands. They were legalists. So as a result, they ended up weighing people down with all kinds of extra biblical regulations on the Sabbath. Instead of a day of delight, a day of relaxation, it turned into a day of repressive regime as the Pharisees, and it basically became a burden. And what can we learn about the question of the Pharisees? Well, we must not add rules and regulations to God's commands. We must be very careful not to enforce our decisions, our thoughts, our feelings on other people just because we think that's the way you need to spend Sunday or we think that's the way you need to do things. What does God's command say on how we live? And Luke chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 gives us the answer. The answer Jesus gave the Pharisees. Jesus could have told the Pharisees that simply that his disciples were not breaking God's command, and they were only breaking the Pharisees' man-made rules. But he did not say that. He wanted to explain the underlying purpose of God's command. So Jesus answered them and told them a story of the Old Testament. Have you ever read Daniel? Did you read about what he did when him and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat. Verse 3 and 4, Jesus is referring to the incident of a life in David. God had rejected Saul and anointed David to serve as Israel's next king. But Saul was still alive and on the throne, and he did not like David, and he was trying to kill him. So the young David was constantly on the run from Saul. And this is where Jesus picks up the story It's recorded in 1 Samuel 21. David went to Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met David and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is there no one with you?" And David answered, "The king sent me on a mission and said to me, 'No one is to know about my mission.' And all of my men were told to meet me at a certain place. Now, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can." But the priest said to David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread over here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." The holy bread was known as the bread of presence, which was kept in the tabernacle. The covenantal bread was baked fresh each week, and then it was set out in the presence of a golden table. Every Sabbath, fresh bread replaced the holy bread. And this is what they are talking about here. That's in Leviticus 24. The bread is set to be out before the Lord regularly, Sabbath after Sabbath, on behalf of the Israelites, as a lasting covenant. It belongs to Aaron and his sons, who are to eat it in the sanctuary area, because it is the most holy of their perpetual share of the food offering presented to the Lord. Because the bread was consecrated to God, only the priests could eat it. And it's not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat the presents. This was part of ceremonial law. But David and his men are famished. And furthermore, David was an anointed servant of God. So Ahimelech, what was he supposed to do? Well, he understood the ceremonial law, but he also understood there's a higher duty to meet human need. So feeding David and his men was a work of necessity. So Ahimelech the priest gave David the holy bread. By telling this story, Jesus is arguing from a harder case to an easier one. His logic was that if it was proper for David and his men to eat the bread of presence, as holy as it was all the more appropriate for Jesus and his disciples to eat a little grain on the Sabbath. Dr. Joseph Pippa puts it this way: it was proper to violate the ceremonial law when the Lord's anointed, i.e. David, was on the Lord's business on a Sabbath, then surely the anointed, i.e. Jesus, and his followers may break the man-made law while doing business on the Sabbath. What Jesus' disciples did on the Sabbath, remember, it's not a violation of God's law. What they did was perfectly legal. Like David's followers, they were in the service of God's anointed king. They were on a holy mission, and they had a physical need. They were hungry. It's all the more appropriate for Jesus' disciples to gather enough grain to give them strength to follow Jesus. The problem with the Pharisees was that in addition to adding man-made rules and regulations to God's command, they did not understand the true purpose of God's law. The true purpose of God's law was to enable us to love God and to also love our neighbors. Yes, God has given us the fourth commandment. He has given it to us to rest and to worship. It is intended to be a delight for the people of God. That's Isaiah 58. We demonstrate our love for God by obeying the fourth commandment, and yet Jesus' answer teaches us that there are appropriate works and necessity on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus could have ended the conversation at that point. The story of David and his followers of eating the bread of presence cleared his disciples of all wrongdoing. But Jesus went on to make a dramatic declaration as he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." One of Luke's purposes in writing this gospel was to reveal the true identity of Jesus. He wanted his readers to understand the person and the work of Jesus. I mean, so far in Luke, we have heard Luke say in Luke 1:32, "The Son of Man Most High." In 2:11, "A Savior who is Christ the Lord," and "a beloved and well-pleasing Son of the Father" in 3:22. Luke is also known, has shown us, the authority of Jesus to preach the gospel, heal the body, cast out demons, forgive sinners, and call disciples to follow him. But here in the beginning of chapter 6, is a dramatic declaration that Jesus is the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus most frequently referred to himself as the Son of Man. It also referred to as the Son of God. And this is where it gets a little technical, so I hope I don't lose you myself. R.C. Sproul points out that there is a tendency to consider the Son of Man as referring to Jesus' humanity, and the title the Son of God as referring to his deity. In fact, Sproul says, just the opposite is the case. Although the title the Son of God was sometimes used to refer to Jesus' deity, it is more commonly referred to Jesus' humanity, in which he demonstrated obedience and submission to the Father. Similarly, though the title the Son of Man was sometimes used to refer to Jesus' humanity, it's more that he's referred to Jesus as a deity. Now, I lost you all, I know it, but by claiming the title the Son of Man for himself, Jesus is claiming to be divine. That's the important part that he's reading. While at the same time, he's trying to keep his identity somewhat hidden from those who do not know what the title meant. By telling the Pharisees that he's the Son of Man, Jesus was in fact claiming to be God. And as God, he is Lord of the Sabbath, for he has in fact created the Sabbath. Surprisingly, Jesus' statement that he is Lord of the Sabbath is sometimes used to sweep aside the Sabbath. Some Christians have the impression that Jesus was saying that the Sabbath no longer mattered. And as Lord of the Sabbath, he could do whatever he wanted, and what he wanted to do was eliminate anyone's obligation to keep the day as worship and rest. But that is not what Jesus is saying. In fact, by saying that he is Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus is not only claiming the deity, but he was also affirming and abiding a continuation of the fourth commandment. God gave Moses the fourth commandment on Mount Sinai. God established the law by working for 6 days and then resting on one. This was patterned by his own work of creating the earth, 6 days and resting on the seventh. Because he is God, Jesus is sovereign over the Sabbath. He has done away with the Sabbath. He has not done away with the Sabbath, but he's in fact to search a continuation of his lordship and people to keep one day, just keep one day out of seven holy, to rest and to worship. Therefore, having analyzed Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath and as set forth in Luke 6, 1 through 5, we should submit to his lordship. And after the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday, the first day of the week, the church began celebrating the Christian Sabbath on a Sunday, which is now called the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10. It's a powerful affirmation to the world that Jesus is indeed who he claims to be, God in human form and the Savior of sinners. There is nothing magical about the day, but there is much that is supernatural about his deity. Only Jesus can give you rest, and he will the moment you believe. That is why you need a Savior full of grace and truth in John 1, not a system full of rules and regulations. Sabbath keeping won't redeem you or give you rest. Only a Savior can do that. Believe that Jesus is God, then submit to his lordship over your life. Amen.
Here we are, your family in your house, and we thank you that you brought us safely to this place where we can hear your word and we can worship you openly without any fear of repercussion. Like every other family, we come to you in a different way, in a different manner, because you created us differently. So, Father, as we think about our friends and our families in a broader family of man, I ask that you would listen to all the heart cries, that you would listen to all the prayers, not just the spoken ones, but the ones that you can just feel being lifted up within this church community for every family. I look out at my brothers and sisters here, and I know of no one who doesn't struggle. I know of no one that doesn't have some kind of heart cry on their heart for themselves and for one another. So as these prayers are lifted up to you this morning, Father, I ask that you would accept them and do what you promised to do, which is to just take those burdens from us if it will only give them to you. We thank you for the members of our community who are, we heard about this morning for Herb and for Ann, the healing and the coming of home. We ask that you would be with the Barrett family as they struggle with this never-ending saga that we're calling COVID. And in a broader sense, Lord, what's going on in the world is hard to fathom when we leave this safe place and the voice that should be loudest in our life, which is yours, seems to get turned down, and we turn our devices on and we start to talk about and listen to interpretations of what's happening around the world. Father, I ask for today on the Sabbath day that we would turn those voices back down and that we would listen to that voice that should be loudest in our hearts, and that is yours. These things that are going on in Ukraine and with the Russian people, they're horrible. But in my lifetime, I can't remember a time in this world where this didn't exist. And in looking back in the history of mankind, I can't think of a time that we weren't as men doing this to each other. And it occurs to me that war and pestilence and famine and the things that are just abhorrent in this world have always been there. So instead of listening to instead of making that the loudest voice in our hearts, Lord, let us turn to you and let your voice be the loudest in how we should be handling the person right next to us. How we should be reacting to the people living across the world that speak a different language, that need our help, need our compassion, need all the things that you created in us that are good. So, Father, for this Sabbath day, I ask that today especially that we would just leave those things behind and just concentrate on that voice, rest in the peace that comes from listening to you above all else. And I ask this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
A moment now to continue in prayer as we
thank God for all the blessings that he gives us.
Would you
bow in prayer with me, please? Father God, we give you thanks and praise for being with us, for guiding us. We thank you for the opportunity to work, the opportunity to pay our bills, the step-by-step guidance that you give us each and every day, how we're able to continue on. We lift up those who are struggling with finances, Lord. We pray that you guide them in the direction of work. We lift that up to you, Father. We thank you that we are able to walk forward and make our donation each and every week. What a blessing that is, Father. We pray that you be with this church. We lift up each and every member and their families. We thank you for all that you give us, and we thank you that we are able to give back to you. It's in your holy name that we gather, in your holy name that we pray, Father. Amen.
Would you please stand? thank and praise you this day. We ask that you watch over us in this week to come. Lord, we lift up this service and we lift up your will before us, Father, that we can learn something from this and take this into the week. And we thank you for your word, Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but your word endures forever, Father. Go this day in his peace, Father. Amen.